T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Jordan, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
I apparently caught Jason Goff while he was vibing yesterday when I asked him to be on the show. Good thing for me and a good thing for you, because he said yes, and now he's on the show. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park, or you can just go to alpamonteford.com. Jason Goff is an award-winning journalist. You can check him out on NBC Sports Chicago. It's true. You can also check him out on SiriusXM channel 372. And you can also hear him
won the
here.
Ebony and Jet awards as well for broadcasting excellence too.
Is it wrong for me that when I go riding the bike past the Ebony Jet building, I get sad?
Yeah, I mean, it's not wrong. It's just how you feel. You know, I there is no right and wrong on how anyone feels anymore. Everybody's just feeling. So I am not the one to tell you not to feel, my brother. How you doing, man? What's going on with you? What's up, big time?
Me, big time, please.
Man, listen, I turned on Channel 11, you on there. You doing, you know, reading Rainbow instead of LeVar Burton now. You out here, you opening restaurants, you biking for charities. I mean, damn, like, you running for office. You're like, what's happening with you, man? Huh? They ain't going to be able to hold you down pretty soon. The price of the brick going up.
Yeah, man. I did finish my ride today. It was an experience, Jay. I rode from my house at the end of Hyde Park up to Wrigley Field, and then made a stop by 35th and Shields on the way back. It ended up being 30 miles today to finish the ride for the T-PAN Network, which they help out families and people who are affected with HIV. So thanks to everyone who donated, because I made my fundraising goal today.
Yeah, Friday I'm gonna hit after you with the 500. Ride. I just had to wait till payday. You know the vibes.
Hey, man, look, I appreciate the fact that you even looked when I would put the dumb stuff up and that you would support it. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, man. I'm proud of you, man. You in these times, you are a beacon, my friend. You are a guiding light, and it's not just because you're light-skinned.
I mean, that's part of it. I mean, it's a big part of it.
What's up, dude? Yeah, you did catch me last night. I was just chilling. You know, I've listened to more music in the last 45 days than I have probably in the last 3 years combined, because that's all I do at home. I don't have any reason at this point to have cable, because all I do is YouTube my favorite songs and videos, and then that leads me down the rabbit hole of finding new artists and all that other stuff. So when you hit me last night, because I know Clinton mentioned it and Adam mentioned it, you know, vibing is different. There's different levels to vibing, right? So when you hit me last night, I was vibing. I'm like, yeah, man, I'll hang out, I'll do some radio. This is the first time I've turned this thing on, Lawrence, in, man, like, at least a month or so, right? So,
well, I'm glad that it works.
I turned it on right at 12:56, too, by the way.
So that's fine.
If it wouldn't have worked, I'd have been on the phone. But I heard Shane's, I heard his stern but comforting presence on the other end of my phone. So I knew everything was okay over there.
Yeah, we got two good ones in the studio too. Jordan and Julio have been working really hard and making sure that I get on the air, which is, you know, I'm sure Jordan, when he's done working this shift, he's going to be like, I have had enough of that craziness.
Man, this guy's, I heard Julio talking about Vegas being a better spot than Orlando. Are you crazy? Are you nuts? Do you want an NBA next year? Talking about putting them boys in Vegas. First of all, security-wise, I don't think people understand what Disney World and Disneyland, but more importantly, Disney World is. Security-wise, there are maximum security prisons who don't have things as buttoned up as the you know, the complex. There's thousands of hotel rooms that are just going unused. And I talked to Keith Smith about it on the podcast, by the way. Shout out to the Bulls Talk podcast. Make sure you are subscribing and downloading and listening in, at your leisure. But we appreciate you. The numbers have been crazy over the last, you know, 6-7 months or so. So that is much appreciated. But we talked to Keith Smith about it. Dude, do you know that Disney World is a no-fly zone?
Yeah, I found that out this past weekend, and I did not know that that was a thing.
Yeah, for a very – not just new, by the way, because, you know, there was 9/11 talk about, you know, the targets being different and all, you know, the Orlando nightclub shooter actually wanted to go to Disney World, but he realized that the security would have been, you know, he wouldn't have gotten done what he was trying to get done because of that security. Like, people think the mouse and the worldwide leader and all these other for the play. Listen, you're not walking in and out of that place like it's just happy time. You know, you got these chicks who are tweeting out, yeah, I've already been invited to the bubble, mess around and try to go. See what's going to happen to you. You have a very, very stern young man in shooter glasses waiting for you at the gate. So, hey, Vegas sounds fun. Vegas is cool. It's the hospitality, one of the hospitality capitals of this country. But the NBA knows exactly what they're on. They know exactly what they're doing. And that area, you know, in the case that something happens, and we talked about this on the podcast as well, you know how New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina had to go play in Oklahoma City, all of a sudden there was a new opportunity. There was a new team. They showed that they can support that team and that fan base gathered around. Then they got the Oklahoma City Thunder. So the NBA is looking for other things and other venues as is. This one is kind of tailor-made even though we're in a tough situation. But I know that's not why you hit me up.
No, it is. It is exactly why I hit you up, because I was wondering what would happen, because there have already been so many people on the Instagram saying that they've been invited to the bubble, and that doesn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me no matter what type of athlete you put in the bubble, that there would be people that would try to, you know, gain some clout from getting themselves and some other things by getting into the bubble. And my question is, can this work? Do you think that with it being as buttoned up, you sound more optimistic about this than I am?
Oh, I'm not at
that
all.
That they can get it completed.
Yeah, I think there is a chance that it won't be completed. The beginning, maybe. I've tried to not be Debbie Downer on this, and even in like my social media, right? Like I look back at some of it, I'm like, man, Jay, like, were you this down on the idea? It's like, it's not that I'm down on the idea. By the way, shout out to Olin Krutz and shout out to his son who's going to U of I. But Olin, the other day, I tweeted something about it ain't happening with college football. And Olin put the raining on the parade gif, right?
He did.
Yeah.
I don't see any way possible that college football gets played.
I would love for it not to be the case. But we're running around here still as people. Like, things aren't happening outside these doors, right? Outside, like, we acted as if summer really came through and just washed it all magically away. No, that's not the case, man. There are cities that are spiking right now. Like, as far as baseball is concerned, you mean to tell me a bubble has you worried, but people traveling from city to city to go play baseball doesn't have you worried? Like, all this is worrisome. So, I'm with Olin. It doesn't sound good or feel good to say, but at some point we gotta understand that this is a dub. Like, this is a wrap this year. And of course you get the people who get mad at you and go, well, you can live the way you want to live and I'll live the way I want to live. I just want everybody to live, man. And to put the last show that I did on Big Ten Radio, was the day that the Big Ten tournament was supposed to happen. And we do the morning show, me and Ant, and I was like, I don't think these games are going to happen or should happen today. And that was the last show that I did. So I am nobody's Debbie Downer, but I'm also nobody's smoke blower either, right? Like, I'd rather you tell me how you feel truthfully about something, and then we go from there. And I think a lot of people have gotten used to telling themselves that it's going to be okay when you don't know, right? Like, I'm in the church of I don't know. And if these things keep getting pushed back, like all of a sudden, no, you're not going to play non-conference schedules. All right, that's the first step. All right, what's going to happen next? No away games? Like, you start to see the deadlines that have to be met for certain things to be said, and all of a sudden, you're getting more and more rollbacks. It's not – you don't have to be like some soothsayer or some master, you know, like Dionne Warwick kind of vibe to see that this is not normal. It's not going to be normal. And the more we try to play like it is, I think the more that we're fooling ourselves. Like, I don't know if this thing is going to come off. I know it's not going to come off without a hitch, right? Because you've already got players who can't go and can't be there for a couple of weeks to start it off. Now, I used to be the part, don't do it, don't play it, but you can't, right? There has to be a cap for next year. And the force majeure clause that could be enacted by the owners if this thing didn't happen this year. Like, the NBA Players Association has the best split of any group in sports, if I'm not mistaken. They got as close to a 50% split as anybody, if not a little bit less than I think, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, you got owners who are sitting back here like, all right, mess around and don't play. So we can press this button, you can get that 38% we've been wanting to give you for a long time. So the players are in a tough position. The owners are in a less tough position. And the fans are just sitting back waiting for their lives to be some kind of normal while asking these people to severely, I won't say damage themselves, but, you know, people are acting like COVID is just something that you catch and then you get away with and you keep it moving. Yeah, for some, it's all good, but you know, I don't want to be the person rolling the dice. Like, we've got personal stuff coming up here too, bro, and I'm very sketchy on very important things that I may or may not go to because I know who I have around me and I know that I may be able to fight things off that they might not be able to. So it's just it's tough right now. It's tough when money is the decision maker when we're talking about death and sickness.
And the binary aspect of what people think COVID is, where it's like either you don't have it or you die when you get it.
Right,
and it's
right.
And there's a long spectrum of things that and consequences that can happen. And to speak to your point about things getting pushed back, as we're talking, this is from Nicole Auerbach, who's been doing a great job like covering college sports. The MAC is suspending indefinitely its virtual football media day until further notice. Originally scheduled for August 3rd and 4th, the decision concerning moving forward will happen at an appropriate time. And I think that football kind of sat back for a while, both college and pro. More so pro, but even college football was like, we have plenty of time. All of this stuff will be figured out. And I think here's the key for if you are worried about college football, and I've been trying to explain to people for months that they should be worried about it. Greg Sankey, the SEC chairman, I don't think this is going to happen. And it basically would take a miracle for it to happen. If the guy who runs the SEC is telling you that he can't see a path to getting football played in the fall, I'm not sure that there's going to be football played. And as for the NFL, Jay, I've had people in the NFL for weeks ask me this question. How are we going to run practice?
Right.
And I don't have an answer. And I don't know if the NFL has an answer. If you want to do positionless football, like position player football, like skill position stuff, you want to have Tom Brady throw to receivers and work on timing routes and stuff, fine. That can be done. If you want to throw swing passes to backs and have that be a practice, that can be done. What you can't practice safely is what happens in the trenches, the most important part of the game. You can't do it.
It's simple. You cannot play sports and not fear that you are spreading this disease. It's as simple as that. And After you have come to grips or whatever you need to do with that information, then you keep it moving. And for all the people out there who are like, oh, well, you know, the fringe has kind of, I don't know if kind of, but for me, left the conversation. Like, I you know, the people who, the hoax people and all these other people, that's fine. They're going to be those people forever. And they probably really don't care about the sports that you want to talk about. They just, they've got a flashpoint and a connecting point where they can jump into a conversation with somebody probably that they haven't done it before. Because I got a bunch of people on my timeline and, hell, in regular life who want to talk to me about COVID and sports. And I'm like, well, which one do you care more about so I know how to go about this, right? Because the answer is going to be the same, but the information might be disseminated a little bit differently. Like, for the people who understand what's going on here, you have to come to grips with covering, being around, talking about all these things that you know are transmitting this disease. Because if you got a room of 80 dudes and staff and all these other people, one person may have it, and that room now becomes, you know, infected.
Infected, yeah.
Yeah. And if you can get past that, like, I used to cringe when I'd hear people talk about football players and their injuries and how they viewed them. And, well, they're millionaires. They're making millions of dollars. Or, you know, they're there for my entertainment. If they want to beat their brains out, knock yourselves out. And I'd sit back and I'd listen to how people talk about a sport that they actually enjoyed watching and consuming, but they knew the detrimental effects that it had on the people that were participating in it. All right, fast forward now to where we are at in time. Now people are talking about something that affects all of us. Like, I never had, you know, there was never a likelihood that I'd stumble on the Soldier Field at 2:45 in the middle of a game and find myself on the field against Akeem Hicks. There was never a probability or a likelihood of that. But, I live in the same city as these people, right? We may frequent some of the same patios, or, you know, we may have similar, you know, people in common, those kinds of things. So, in essence, the people who are in your city who are performing these things that you, you know, feel like you're distant from, you're not that distant from it. You're not. Like, think about the interactions that we really do have with athletes that we don't know about. The grocery stores that they go to, you know, the vets that we see them at. You know, maybe if you're out having a beer with somebody and you see an athlete, like, their interactions in the cities that they live in are very, they're closer than you think, right? Like, we like to think that the athletes are so far removed from us, and, you know, just because of where they are monetarily and fame-wise. No, they're not. And with that lack of removal comes, okay, these people are in the same instances that we are. They're in the same bathrooms. You know, like, those things are real. And then if you're in Orlando, you got the world being dropped off in a little, you know, in a 40-mile, what is it, like, a, I think it's a 40, I'm sorry, 40
Yeah, I think it's a 40 square mile radius.
Yeah, 40 square
Disney
mile
world.
Property, right? Yep. Like, if I'm in Orlando, and I'm like, yo, all right, cool, but ain't it kind of hot here without them? So I'm listening, and I'm hearing, and I'm digesting every conversation, because all of them are valid. Like, there aren't very many opinions that should be thrown out. And the ones that should be thrown out, you kind of get to the root of, oh, you really don't care about this. This is just something for you to feel engaged and ready to argue about.
As someone who loves sports the way that you do, have you found yourself missing it, or Man. Have you found yourself occupied?
Talked about it yesterday, Doug. No. Strangely so, because of everything that has gone on, like, you know where sports has been for me for the entirety of us knowing each other. Like, I've always enjoyed and loved sports and loved talking about them, but, like, sports has kind of been the vessel, right? Where you get to emote, you get to commiserate, you get to, you know, you get to do all the things that you would normally do, but there's a common bond, and it's been sports throughout my life. The issue with these last few months has been there's been so many other things filling up my life and everybody else's life out there that maybe you're running towards, all right, I got to get back to sports. I got to get back to it. For me, Lawrence, this is the first time that I've had a break in
20 years.
No, Jay was born 2016. I came back home 2014. So this is the first time I've really had a break since, like, 2014. And I'm sitting back like, man, life can be full and I'm not saying without sports, because I still got to do what I got to do for work, right? But like life has been filling up for me. Like my son is growing up, you know. I'm trying to make sure that he understands how to move and how to be a gentleman and what he has to do and looking people in the eyes at 3 and a half. Like these are the things I'm trying to teach him. So I stay busy with that. And by the time it's time for me to wind down, I'm in these Call of Duty streets, man, stinking it up. So like And when a game is on, like I'm going to watch the TBT championship tonight. I heard you talk to Mo Creek just now, which was awesome. But I watched like the fight this last weekend, the Masvidal fight. I was ready to order it. I got a new TV, all these things ready to pop off. I forgot about the damn fight because me and Jason's mom took a walk. I hate to be that guy because people will hold it against you. Be like, oh, see, I told you you didn't love sports. And it comes through in the way that he talks. Man, I love sports a lot, but I also love life. And I realized how much of it I wasn't living because I was chasing work so much. And we're going to get back to chasing work here pretty soon. But in this time, I've been kind of filled up, whether it be with emotion or love or hanging with my people or talking to you. Like, I've found things to fill that void. And when it comes back, I'll be like, oh, yeah, hey, what's happening? Like, sports to me is like the person that you know will always be there and always listen to you. You can always vent, and sometimes you listen to it vent. That's when the labor strife and all that other stuff is happening, but it's always going to be there. So long story less long, I haven't missed it as much as I thought I would.
It's interesting that you say that, and I might feel that tug when baseball comes back.
For sure.
Where, you know, like oh, okay, like this is the thing that I've been replacing for the last 4 months. I've been replacing it with, you know, reading stuff and hanging out and being on the deck and all of that other stuff. But once I get it back, am I going to immediately like fall back in love with that companion? Baseball, one of its greatest things is that it's a companion for you for those 6 months. Like, you know where you're going to be 6 of the 7 nights out of a week. You know, oh, White Sox are on. No matter what, like, I can watch that or I can watch baseball. So I am wondering how I'm going to react, and once I get over the weirdness of it, if it's even possible to get over the weirdness of it, will I go back to it just being attached to who I am and what I'm about?
Yeah, and I think like life presents us with these moments, whether it be like life-changing events, and this is obviously a life-changing event for everybody on this planet, but whether it be births or deaths or weddings, whatever the case may be, like life-changing events kind of take up space that you realize that you had room for. You just were cluttering it with less important things. And with everything that's going on out in these streets, right? Like, things have gotten really quiet. You know, we can't wait to celebrate Ben and Jerry's when they come out and say something. But at the same time, you know, check out what Target is doing. Check out what Home Depot is doing. Check out what some of these people who think it's quiet now, and that you've gotten back to your regular life while the same things that we were mad about a couple of months ago are still happening. So, you know, there's a lot going on. There's so much going on that you try to make sure that everything is tiered the right way. Like it's a big game of Tetris going on right now, and we're getting filled up and we're getting to that top, and we, you know, game might be over, but you find ways to snatch that bottom out with that long tile. I was always an L block guy, to be honest with you. That T block was kind of whack, but that L block, you get to stack up your tiles. You get to stack up
I like the T block just because I could move it. Like, I like the idea of the function of it.
I used to try to rotate it and slide it into a peg that was, like, standing alone, and I would never be able to slide it in there the way I needed to. And next thing you know, I get frustrated. I'm 2 ones down. Then you get that 4-block square, which is just useless.
It's absolutely useless.
Absolutely useless. So that's what life is, right? A big game of Tetris. You're just making sure that you got the cheat code. And, you know, if you get in trouble, just press reset. That's bankruptcy.
And you're just waiting for that straight block because you got everything lined up, and you're waiting for that straight block to come down.
Now tell me, how much of a gangster were you? Did you turn off the preview?
Yes.
No, you didn't. You were damn right. You did not turn off the preview.
Yes, I did.
You just tried to make sure that we still cool. If you didn't turn off the preview out there, then you a sucker. You out here knowing what was going to come. You was planning your whole game. That's the cheat code. That, my friends, is Tetris privilege.
Tetris privilege. That'd be a perfect name for a podcast.
I know what you're trying to do now, so I'm going to get off the line.
Jay, you need to start a podcast.
Yeah, all right.
The people want the podcast.
Last show was on the other joint. Where you trying to have a bunch of last days around, ain't you?
This is the beautiful thing about having an independent podcast. No, you can do all sorts of stuff.
I know. I've been pump faking for a while. I've done some episodes and I've done some talking. I've been doing an audio diary thing over the last month and a half or so, where it's just like 25, 30 minutes. You know, I don't write as much down as I would like. So instead, I just jot little notes down in my head and then speak them into a recorder every once in a while. But
imagine what would happen if you allow people to hear it.
Yeah, but then that can go two ways, Lawrence. That can go two ways. It can be great, or it can be great and people will be mad.
All I'm going to say is I'm going to be like Puffy with Jay Electronica. I'm going to keep telling you to put it out there. The people want the bleeping podcast, Jay. Give them the podcast.
The difference is it's not going to be half of somebody else's album, though. That's the problem. When you finally drop, I can't hear Hov's verse first. On your album that we've been waiting 12 years for. Can't do that.
Yeah.
First words I got to hear got to come out of your mouth, you know?
I didn't know that there was such an Illuminati connection with him.
Electronica or Jay-Z?
Both, but, you know, with him in the heiress, I was like, wait, what?
You know, us into that.
That's what I kind of figured, but whatever. Wink, wink. I mean, he's had a couple of Svengoolies in his life between the heiress and Erykah Badu. That is
soul snatchers.
That is life well lived or poorly lived. Jay, the people want the podcast. So
the people don't want no damn podcast. Yes, they do. The same. You know what, man? Listen, man, the people's champ thing is overrated. All right. I want to be the
You want to be the corporate champ?
That's what you want to be? I was about to take it to another level.
You want to be the Rock? You want to be the Rock when the Rock was corporate champ out here in these streets?
It wouldn't be bad. I mean, there's been a couple of times where I almost became that, and I was like, that don't feel good. And you know what it is? It's kind of like when everything was going down in the city and we were running around trying to clean up places and feed the people and all that stuff, and I didn't take any money from anybody because I told them, I'm like, dude, listen, I can't take money from you. And people are like, why? I want to help. I'm like, no. It's no disrespect to you. I know that once things kind of stabilized and hopefully for the better, I'm going to be standing on someone's couch with copious amounts of brown liquor. And you're going to point at me as, oh, that's the guy that's the guy that's trying to save a couple of neighborhoods or clean up. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I was just trying to help out because I know I'm going to get to this part of my life as well.
I think there's time and there's room for both.
But there's not in this life. You know how it is.
But you can be on the couch and you can have the brown liquor and you can also be the guy that was running around the South Side with a broom cleaning things up. So
not one broom in my garage either, by the way. I bought – man, shout out to PJ's Ace Hardware over there on the west side. I dumped a year full of money into that place, and the other day I looked around, I was like, I don't have not one shovel in here. I must have bought 20 shovels three separate times. And I looked around, I was like, man, when the snow comes,
you don't really need a shovel, though, do you?
But, you know, every man should have a shovel, bro.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I go down to the garage, and it's a little too fancy, right? Like – You got to have something in your garage to make you feel like, you know, like if your knuckles did have to get busted a little bit, you would have the proper tools. I don't have those. Like, I got this measly little Stanley set. I don't have a bunch of shovels and stuff. Like, every man needs a pickaxe, man. Like every man needs a pickaxe. And what was that soap that we used to see the commercial for that would pretty much say it's going to rub your skin off and get you
lava.
Clean? Lava, yes. Every man should have a pickaxe and some lava soap somewhere in his pantry, in his garage. If you got to keep it in the fridge, just, and don't even tell your lady why you're doing it. Just say, baby, I'm just trying to make sure that, you know, I stay centered. That's all it is. Right. So right now, I want everybody, jump on whatever site that you have or app that you have on your phone and go get you some lava out the blue. And when it arrives and your significant other says, what the hell is lava soap doing in here? You've never fixed anything. You say, I'm trying to change my life. I'm trying to be a better man going forward, because golf says that every man should have a pickaxe and lava soap in his garage.
One step at a time. That's all it takes. What I would like people to do with their time today is to flood Jason's Twitter account at Jason1Golf and tell him that the people need a podcast. So that's all.
Don't do it.
That's all. I've been saying, if we can be don't like rappers this. In the 80s and 90s, and we can sell this stuff out of our trunk. So start selling
that's
tapes.
The thing, right?
Tapes, like, I meant.
There's trunk
out of
sales.
The trunk.
It's just not podcasts. You know? Like, we're moving. We're doing things. I did my taxes.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Finished them up. I need to do more city stuff, man, because I am paying for a lot of city stuff that I am not engaging in.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll all be able to use more of that stuff.
I'm talking about bike rides and stuff, man. We ain't never going outside. Get used to everybody living in the crib, all right? Mm. Pretty much. We're going to be stacked up on top of each other for the next 35, 40 years. There is no end in sight to any of this. You know it. I know it. That's how it's going to be.
Jason, thanks for the time.
I'm just messing with you, bro. Y'all be good, man. And another thing, too. Make sure y'all keep dialing that number that I'm going to pin to my Twitter feed about the arrest and eventual conviction of Breonna Taylor's murderers. Because the more you read about that story, the more you realize that there are other things at play here than mistaken identity and all the other things that people want you to believe. So make sure that we don't forget about the people that are still that shouldn't be forgotten, even though times seem like they're quieting down. Shouldn't be quiet, because people are still out there being taken advantage of.
One of Chicago's real heroes, Jason Goff.
I was about to say, who's behind me? You're talking about me.
It's the truth. At Jason1Goff is where you can find him, and that's where you can convince him to do a podcast. Jay,
I still got to drop off your birthday present too, man.
Oh yeah, that's on me. That's not on you.
No,
that's
it's not on me. Not on you. The good people over there at the place that I just mentioned have a giant, like a bottle the size of you, pretty much.
Oh, great!
Yeah,
bring it on. And now I have a new deck, man. So we can be socially distant on the deck and hang out.
Oh, I'm down. I got my White Sox mask. Everything is love.
Come on through.
All right, my man. Love you.
All right, man. Be good. Yep. That is Jason Goff. I'm way late, but it was totally worth it, right? Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Levine covers baseball for us here on The Score and does an incredible job of doing it. At MLB Bruce Levine is where you can find him. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from in Melrose Park, or you can just check it out at alpamonteford.com. Bruce, I'm sorry that we got to you late. I truly apologize. Thank you for being as patient as you have been.
Mitch Rosen makes sure that I'm patient by paying me in a timely manner.
Good. That's important that he gets that money to you when you need it. I have a lot of baseball questions I want to run past you, and I know there's stuff that you've been reporting on. Well, one of them is more of it actually does have to do with on-the-field stuff. When it comes to Yu Darvish and him pitching to Victor Caratini, what's the decision-making process behind that?
They've had a lot of success together last year. Most of the second half last season, when Darvish was a dominant pitcher for the Chicago Cubs, Caratini was catching most of the time and took over permanent time for a month with all the pitchers when Wilson Contreras went down with a hamstring injury. So Caratini has made tremendous progress as a catcher over the last 3 years. And so with a 60-game schedule in 63 or 64 days, no starting catcher is going to catch everybody. It's automatic that Contreras catches Lester. That's his catcher. And in this case, Darvish and Caratini. But, you know, keep in mind, this year the National League has the luxury of the DH. Wilson Contreras has a potent bat that can be put in as a DH when Caratini is catching Darvish or anybody else. So there's going to be plenty at bats, more at bats probably than in the past for Wilson Contreras.
Let's stick with pitching for a second. And let's talk a little bit about the decision that Michael Kopech made. And I know that you've been on the Score airwaves talking about it, and you've talked to all sorts of people inside the White Sox organization. I feel like the reaction has been the right one, from organization to the fans of the team, of people saying, hey, if this is a guy that needs more time, then let's just give him more time. What have you heard from people inside that organization about what happens next for Michael Kopech?
Well, nothing this year. I mean, if he goes on a program of throwing, the White Sox will let us know maybe later in this summer here, a month from now or 6 weeks from now. But the reality is as Lucas Giolito told us on a Zoom call yesterday, Lawrence, that Michael is just not he's just not comfortable pitching this year. So for whatever reason, personal, you know, professionally, COVID related, whatever it is, people would just be making it up at this point until Michael comes out and tells us exactly what was troubling him, if he does. We know that he's had challenges in the past with depression, with anxiety issues. He's a terrific young guy. He's a terrific talent. And he'll just start the process again at age 25 rather than 24. That's what we have to accept. That's what we look at. And that's the final decision for 2020.
What have these practices and scrimmages been like to cover over the last week or so?
It's been interesting because you're watching players develop a new normal as far as playing in games against their own players. Yeah, too often maybe, but that's the only choice right now in these inter-squad games that'll ramp up later this week and next weekend when they start playing the opposition, Cubs and Sox, a couple times at least. So, playing in front of no fans and the teams trying to simulate the background noise. The Cubs have attempted to use piped-in fan noise, music for both teams being piped in. The Cubs went as far as using a PA address guy to announce the players and then their at-bats just to get that simulation going and to get ready for the season. But again, the new normal, no fans expected. The way the country is going right now, Lawrence, I don't see any fans being at Major League Baseball games this year. That seems ludicrous with all the reports out there right now. And policing it is even another story altogether as far as people adhering to what you want to do but when you have them in the ballpark. So I don't think that's going to happen. I hope I'm wrong, but the ball players are getting used to the empty ballparks, creating that energy and that ability to compete with just another team on the other side.
Publicly, the Cubs have been more gracious than I would have been when it comes to the testing and the results of that they're getting back from MLB, and they had to eliminate guys from the workout yesterday. Privately, is it the same? Are you hearing the same thing, or is there a level of frustration that the Cubs feel with them not getting their results back in a timely manner?
I think everybody in the country has a problem with tests that aren't brought back in 2 days. It's the same thing for Joe Q Public out there trying to get his test, and it takes 5 or 6 days. The tracking of the test isn't there, and everybody around you is in danger when you don't get it back promptly. And it's no different for the players who have been concerned and afraid of it, just like anybody would. The fact that they have their own lab and the turnaround time should be quicker, obviously it hasn't worked totally. I know that teams have tried to find local places to be able to get this testing done, but it has to be vetted by the Major League Baseball and make sure that that's proper. So it's been a process, but nonetheless, you know, these 4 or 5 days in between, that's not going to be acceptable for players going forward. So they have to get it right.
Yeah, I kept wondering what happens, because the Cubs have been so safe, Bruce. What happens if this happens while their game's being played? I mean, I'm sure that they will err on the side of caution, but now you're talking about a competitive imbalance if they keep seeing stuff like this.
Absolutely, and a competitive imbalance is going to be the way that they go rather than risking themselves and other people around them. That's not what anybody wants. So they're going to have to get these tests back in 2 days, and there will be positive tests, and there will be tracking of these tests and people that they've come into contact with. It's a messy situation at best, Lawrence. When you say that the Cubs have done a great job of tracking it and keeping everybody safe, they have. But the other teams have done the exact same thing. You know, nobody wants anybody to be catching this virus and spreading it around and impacting their families when they go home. So it is a huge experiment for sports to start out in 2021. And if you think it's going to be just a smooth road ahead, I think you should look at it from a more realistic point of view of what's going on in the country.
Bruce, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. You're doing a great job as per usual.
All right. Thanks, Lawrence. Take care, buddy.
That's Bruce Levine of our staff. He covers baseball like nobody else. At MLB Bruce Levine is where you can find him on Twitter. We need to take a break. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I wanted to thank everybody who helped out in my mission to raise money for the T-PAN Network. And they do a great job of supporting people who are affected by HIV. Maggie Hendricks was like, hey, since you've been riding your bike, you should ride for T-PAN. And I was like, oh, okay. So I did it. I finished today. I went on a journey from Hyde Park to Wrigley Field. I saw Soldier Field, and I went to White Sox today. I did 30 miles on my last ride, and I'm really, really happy that I got that part of it done. I'm going to still keep riding my bike, but your donations were unbelievable. My goal was $2,000. Like, the goal was to do 250 miles, raise $2,000 by September 1st, and I'm over $2,100. And that's because you guys have been kind, even in a time when a lot of us don't have any extra money lying around. So thank you to the T-PAN Network and the work that they're doing. If you want to see the pictures, I took a lot of pictures today from the ride, so you would have proof of me at Wrigley, me at White Sox, me at Bears. It's on my Instagram at Lawrence W. Holmes, and it's in my Twitter account at Lawrence W. Holmes. Thank you so much for your donations and your support throughout all of this. Thanks to Jordan Malley. Thanks to Julio Raseo for their hard work on today's show. Jason Goff, Bruce Levine for their contribution to the show as well. And good luck to Mo Creek tonight against those clowns from the Golden Eagles. See you tomorrow at noon right here on The Score. McNeil and Parkins are next.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.